Hello there, I'm Goldzar. You may know me from the Day One Update podcast, and that's pretty much all you should know me from. We were supposed to have a long form up today, but Gurkmal is still in Japan. So instead of a long form, we're going to be uploading a rant type podcast of a really bad movie we saw at the end of 2018. We kind of recorded it just to, you know, test out the waters, but we had a lot of fun. And you know what? If there's anything we're going to fill in the schedule for, it might as well be this one. So without further ado, one of the worst movies we've seen in the past few years, Mortal Engines.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to our entertainment podcast, where we talk about everything related to entertainment, news, reviews, anything, really, games, movies, TV shows, whatever comes
whatever
up.
Whatever interests us.
Yeah, whatever interests us, to be specific. So we have me, Gurkmal, as your host, and I'm joined by...
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, I'm Goldzar. I didn't quite catch your name there, what?
Yeah, no, I kind of...
I heard Air-Eyed.
Yeah, so, I'm air.
Air-Eyed. There you go.
Air-Eyed.
It's the air that we breathe, mm-hmm. I guess.
I'm godlike. I keep you alive.
Godlike. So, we just came back from the theaters, literally about 20 minutes ago, and we saw this new movie that was called Mortal Engines. And if you guys haven't heard of it, it's a movie basically. It's based on this young adult novel by the same name, I believe, about cities that eat other cities.
Well... You would think that's what the movie is about. But yes, we will have a review spoiler cast type thing on that. But
we actually have a lot to talk about today. We had that movie. We have
about a month's worth of gaming news also to cover.
Yeah, we got the Game Awards wrap up.
We also specifically drove back from the theaters without saying a word to each other.
We tried.
So in other words, okay, hold on. Since we didn't talk about the movie, right, let's just go into it right now. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie, you don't.
I mean,
We have differing opinions.
So this is the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
So what were your guys' initial thoughts? Me, I thought the premise and the setting and the world was good. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Before that.
Yeah.
The only person who's even remotely read a page of this is you, Gurkmal, and you didn't even finish the book, right?
No, I didn't.
Air and I kind of went into this blind. Like, I didn't see any trailers.
I did watch the trailer. Yeah. Every time I watched a movie, the trailer was
playing.
That was what made me want to watch the movie.
I did not want to watch the movie because it's another young adult.
They also flashed Peter Jackson's name about 70 times in each trailer.
They did. There's that, and there's the whole, you know, young adult genre, though, which
dystopian craze I detest.
Like, I can't even differentiate between dystopian and young adult at this point, because they're all
dystopian.
And even then, they're not even the dystopian young adult novels. There's formula to even, like, things. What is it called? The Mortal Bones? Or City of Bones?
Mortal Instruments.
Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. Stuff like that. Movies like that, mortal which aren't dystopian.
They all have mortal in it for some reason, don't they?
It's probably catchy to think.
Sounds cool.
Spoiler, everybody. These engines in this movie, not run by mortals. Not like I expected. I expected the big plot twist to be, oh my god, the engine are, like, the fuel for the engines of the city are people. They just throw people into the engine. Oh my god.
No Full Metal type.
So, like, I hyped myself up for a spoiler. That's in the title. It's not really a spoiler. It didn't even come true. And okay. So, sorry.
So, what were you guys' initial thoughts about the movie? If you were to say, like, good, kind of okay, bad... What were your thoughts?
Air, you want to go first because you have a
one-word description of the movie?
Yeah.
Ah, let's see here. I don't want to use the word bad because that might be putting it too lightly.
No. Okay.
Damn. It's a waste of time, one word.
You can say really fast.
What's the time?
I thought that, okay, it was a bad movie. I don't recommend, I wouldn't recommend paying money or scene points. Mm-hmm.
Okay, gripe with it is it wasn't a good bad movie.
So actually, I thought that this movie was going to be one of those movies where it's not so bad that I can laugh about. It's going to be one of those boring movies that it's just like blah. Because that, in my opinion, is the worst kind of movie you can watch or make. It's a movie that's so bad. Like, you either have a good movie that you're glad to see or a movie so bad that you're glad to see it because it's so bad. And I thought this would be in the space where it's not even bad enough that I can have fun making fun of it.
Yeah, see, like,
however,
there are bad movies that you can make fun of, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are boring movies, which I wouldn't consider bad, but, like, it's one of those movies you have on a Netflix in the background running, right? I guess one of those movies would probably be, for me, like, Transformers, right? Mm. I wouldn't call that a bad movie, right? I'm not saying it's a good movie, great movie, right? But, like, it's one of, it's, like, cheap fun. You just sit there, you watch it, you enjoy it, right? Or you just have it on in the background as noise. This, you can't even do that with this.
But I will say, visually, the movie looked great.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So, well, I thought, my first impressions was, I don't think it's one of those movies where it's so bad it's good. I don't think it's one of those, it's not even one of those movies where it's just average, the most boring kind of movie. My biggest gripe with this is it had so many good ideas that it just didn't execute properly, or it didn't follow through, or it didn't commit. And that waste of potential is what puts me off the most, because it had actual legitimate good ideas. And if we had shock mounts, I would be banging the desk as I said this.
The whole concept behind cities that are mobile and that are like predator cities, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that they're like hunting down other cities, trying to eat other cities, taking their resources and using their...
As soon as I saw that first scene, it's like, hey, this city is gonna eat this other city. That I'm like, I'm sold.
That chase scene was pretty cool too.
And then never again.
Yeah. And that wasn't the...
The whole the trailers made it seem like they were in this deserted world where cities were mobile and they forged on other cities, right? And survived. It was not that.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The movie told us and the characters told us that this was a deserted world, that this was a world that lacked resources, but we never once saw evidence of that. There was an abundance of places to go to with people in it, and there was no actual examples of, oh, we're starving. Oh, we're running out of fuel. Yeah. We're running out of resources.
Yeah, they said
the only time they showed that was the Universal logo that came by, and they showed the things going
on. And they showed the not nukes going off. And can I just say this? Okay, obviously they're going for a nuclear weapon or nuclear winter allegory. Why the hell did they decide to go with quantum laser nothingness, which means nothing, when they could have gone with nuclear weapons, which exist and which are known to be terrifying things to the audience?
I feel like they went with singularities, right? It's because singularity will destroy civilization.
They went with singularities because they can just say the word quantum and then audiences would be like, okay, don't have
quantum
to explain that.
Sounds quantum. It's futuristic.
Let me try to base it off into their world. Right? Like, not scientifically proven or anything. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know half the shit I'm talking about. But if you have nukes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to that place for, like, what is it, 10,000 years or something? Because it's polluted with nuclear radiation.
Yep.
Right? However, based on their quantum, what was it? Singularity, right?
They're lasers. They're lasers.
Yeah, they're laser quantum singularities. They implode, explode, destroying civilization, leveling the land. However, that doesn't make it unlivable.
But wouldn't that make the concept of moving cities more understandable? Like, if it was like you can't stay in one spot?
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, you know what makes nukes scary? Exactly what you've described. You know what suddenly, if you're going to make an allegory for nukes without actually using nukes, make something scarier or just as scary, not just
actually,
laser.
The scariest part of nukes is the radiation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So make something with that gravity if you're making a movie about the allegory of nuclear winters.
They also didn't explain the point of the nukes, the quantum stuff.
It's literally because...
They were in every major city on the planet, so I'm assuming they were using them as power.
Well, they explained that 2018 was not the last year of this ancient civilization. It was 2188 because of that Twinkie expired. However, I will tell you exactly why, and I've seen this time and time again in games and movies and books and all sorts of things. It's because you don't have to explain quantum. It's like Ant-Man and the Wasp, the Ant-Man 2.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain anything when you say the word quantum. Because no quantum
really
is a thing that exists and has actual principles and theories to it, but the general audience does not know. They'll just say, oh, yeah, that sounds sciencey. I'll accept it.
That seemed to be the running principle of the entire movie. You don't have to explain anything.
And you know what? That laser that imploded the wall or whatever, it didn't seem that. It seemed like, oh, yeah, I expected a big explosion.
Yeah.
Except the only difference is this time the explosion went in and then it went out. So it had like a little bit of a black hole.
Like if you played Mass Effect, that it does the exact same thing.
Exactly.
Any game,
but except the singularity does the exact same thing. So like limp, in my opinion.
It was okay. This wall was the size of like.
It wasn't even that big.
Yeah, it wasn't that big, right? And then we see entire like metropolis is getting destroyed, like all of Manhattan, like just gone, right? And then you have the same thing, shooting a laser at a wall, and it takes 3 shots to put a hole in it.
You know what? Here's the thing. You know that hole that they put in the wall in this movie? That was a small... Okay, that hole buildup was a quantum laser. That hole was smaller than the hole made by the ice dragon in the end of Game of Thrones season 8 or whatever. that destruction of that wall was bigger.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
and they didn't have a whole movie leading up to, oh my god, the dragon's fire.
I don't see how that weapon was much more dangerous than a nuke. It really isn't.
It wasn't. But
it's literally a laser that did a little bit of damage.
What if there's no such thing as nukes anymore? Because it's 21.
Well, they made reference to our world. They made so many references to it. It's possible that
it's 21 something. We used up all the uranium.
Yeah, well, guess what? So they replaced nukes with a more dangerous weapon that isn't actually more dangerous because it was just an explosion. Well, like it killed hydrogen. Some nameless people.
Well, like hydrogen bombs. Like that's...
Yeah, there is stuff that
the
they
Tsar?
Huh?
The Tsar or whatever it's called? Yeah. The Russian bomb.
And, okay, we're spending a lot of time on the fact that they use quantum laser nonsense.
Yeah, we have a lot to go into this movie.
So, Gurkamal, you mentioned, if you didn't get it already, this movie takes place in our world, but way, way in the future after we screwed up and developed quantum lasers and blew each other all to hell.
Quantum
lasers. There's
a map. I don't know if you guys noticed, right? There was an old map, which is our current map, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a new map, right? And
in case you didn't notice, even though they spent a good 5 seconds pointing at the map and then dropping very generic dialogue on it, but yes.
No. The new map.
The new map with all the continents shifted and they actually say the line, well, yeah, all the tectonic plates got cracked.
Yeah, so literally all it is North and South America, right? And like half of Europe and Africa. That was all to survive. That was it.
Hmm.
And same place where they were, right? Same shape somewhat. Right.
Yeah, and there was even like a zoom in on United States of America. This was a thing.
Yeah, the amount of USA like zoom in they do.
I thought the USB
key.
I thought that was like America say like because
that was pretty cool though. When I first saw USA, I'm like, oh, so USA started this, and they plug it into Medusa. I'm like, okay,
yeah, because literally,
okay, yeah, so for those,
because about like 3 minutes before that scene, it's like, oh wow, I'm surprised they don't have a single American, and they don't have anything other than American relics and maps. I'm surprised America is not saving the day.
Cue USB with US of A on it.
But it was a tease, though. Yeah, it was just being a Medusa.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a USB. It was a kill switch. It was basically the end of the movie. That's what it. That's what it was.
Spoiler alert. She had it in her locket with her that she had since she was 8 years old, and throughout her entire life, it never opened.
But here, the...
okay. Well, yeah. We need to talk about the Lazarus monster.
Should we kind of go chronological? I guess I know this is our testing ground of how we do reviews, and we're kind of all over the place. Should we start trying to go chronological with the beginning of the movie, or should we just go right, and talk?
Let's do this.
I was asking. I'm not suggesting we should do that.
You say everything you want to say about the movie.
Let's go.
Okay.
No pressure.
All right. What I liked about the movie was obviously the premise, the world. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was different from other worlds. It was like, all right, we had a rebellion and let's fight back, because that's literally every other dystopian world that I've ever seen. This was just every city is just fighting for survival. They're moving constantly. They're taking in other cities, using human resources to make their city bigger. I like that. That was pretty cool. But everything else about like the way some of the characters are written, some of their dialogue was not too good, because they pretty much took every single cliche line you could find in every other book, took it all together, and put it into this movie and made it the character's dialogue. That was very frustrating throughout the movie watching it. That was probably the most frustrating part of it.
Yeah, kind of on that note, I get your sentiment, because there are some damn good ideas.
Yeah.
The idea of the world lacking resources. Cliche, mm-hmm. but it's a pretty good idea that they never bothered to do anything with.
They did it in a new manner, too. Yeah. I like the
yeah. It's literally this big city that's a Frankenstein of all the cities they've collected. Mm-hmm. And you can see, like, from, if you just zoom out, that, oh, that arm is probably built after the fact. That X part is built after the fact. And it's eating cities to strengthen itself and fuel itself for like one more week, extending it. That's a really cool idea. Yeah. That it's not extended past the first 15 minutes. There's all of these ideas where this crowd, the people living in this predator city, as they call it in the movie, mm-hmm. are just cheering mindlessly because, we get violence. We get to see violence. Yeah, we get resources. We can survive one more week. Mm-hmm. But they don't do anything with it because at the end of the movie, they're just saved by the compassionate rebels. There's the rebellion, the anti-tractioners, which we don't see. We were having a discussion in the car where they didn't quite explain what tractioners, anti-tractioners are. It's like, essentially, tractioners are the cities that steal other cities and scrap them for parts. But there's not, we don't see anything of the rebellion other than the fact that they are a rebellion. We see scrappers or salvagers or salvager cities for 5 minutes and they do nothing with it. We see, like, they have ideas that they just throw in because they're cliches and like young adult movies, dystopian novels need scavengers. Let's throw scavengers in. Dystopian things need evil cities. Let's make the city leaders bad guys. Dystopian novels need rebels. Let's throw rebels in there.
Yeah.
But what about the substance of the rebels? We don't need the substance of the rebels. We just need the rebels. And they had some good ideas, some really amazing ideas in the city eating city thing.
Mm.
But man, is that poorly executed? And that dialogue is terrible.
Yeah.
The main girl, Esther, was had no line.
Let's talk about the characters.
Actually, no. First, Air.
Yes, because I've been waiting for you.
You've been waiting. Shut up. Okay. I'm looking at you seething and like building up.
I'm going to go from the very beginning to the very end, right? So the movie starts off, right? This girl comes into this city, opening city, this giant British city attacking this tiny little
mining village. Town.
Yeah, mining town, right?
The big predator city is called London, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just London.
So it's basically history. London taking over the world and destroying everybody, right?
In case you didn't get it.
So anyways, right? This girl named Esther, she comes in because the main baddie of the city, right, happened to kill this chick's mom.
Oh, and it is her dad, no big deal, but yes, continue.
Right? Okay, whatever, right? She stabs him. Doesn't kill him. All right, fine. Yeah, let's keep the movie going, right? This other idiot, the love interest, the co-actor, whatever you want to call him, right? He is the typical bumbling idiot. You know, they escape the city, the big giant city, right? And they're out in the world. And he's standing up on the edge, waving at other cities, going, hey, we're over here. Like, oh my God, I wanted him to die so badly. Right, then, right here we go. You have they said it like four times in the movie. Right, we have a week to live. We're running out of resources. Right, that's the whole point. The city was out there, right, trying to find resources, right, and scavenge off these tiny little villages. No evidence that they were ever running out of resources. Right. Mm-hmm. Even though they said it repeatedly, hey, listen, we only have a week left, blah, 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 blah. Right. So the cities ran on metal, right? Coal and like salt and stuff and water.
It's
right?
A steampunk thing.
Yeah. And then you have flying ships with jet engines. That as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, so you have these cities and you have jet engine ships. Where are you getting that fuel from?
Right? Yeah. There's no evidence of this world actually lacking resources at all.
There were so many jets, right? And why can't you just use jet fuel to run the city or something? Like, where did all this jet fuel come from?
Whatever fuel the jets use, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to make that. You have to make that. Like, where did that stuff come from? And the jets are attached to blimps.
I was just going to say, you know what would be rad? Instead of jets, just a bunch of hot air balloons and blimps. That would have been freaking hilarious.
That would have been better.
That would have been better, yes.
Everyone just like, going in random directions.
Hey, you know what? Avatar The Last Airbender managed to make it pretty high.
Like jets with propellers, maybe. I mean, blimps with propellers would have worked.
Like Fire Nation style, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Why? No, the jet engine. Mm. Okay. Next thing. There's this Terminator, nuclear-powered Terminator guy, right?
Strife?
Like a Lazarus
I kept hearing Shrek.
I heard Shrek, too.
Let's
Shrek
call him Shrek. Shrek. He's green.
Yeah, so that's his name, apparently.
He's
so,
Sparky Boom Man, but for young adult live-action novels.
He's a robot? He was a human turned into a robot.
Yeah.
Right? And he finds Esther, the main chick, as a kid and raises her, right? So she's going through heartbreak or whatever. She leaves him on his own, and she goes and travels and does whatever and tries to kill her father. And so he is hunting her down to turn her into a robot. Why? Because she promised him that she would turn into a robot.
And you raise a really good point that I'll talk about later. But yeah.
And, okay, he goes on a... I loved him. Right, I loved the idea of him. I loved how he was invincible, right? And all they had to do is, right, was just talk to this thing and say, I don't want to be a robot anymore, right? I'm happy living my life, right? Because that's exactly how he died.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, yeah.
He's like, he looked at her, he's like, oh, you're happy now.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to keep your promise. Mm-hmm. And then he died.
I was actually having a discussion.
He killed so many people.
He blew up a city.
He destroyed a city. The city
was gone.
Right? And it was all for what?
Nothing. Because she broke a promise. Here's me and Girkman were talking about this in the car. What, in my opinion, would have fixed him was if... we had evidence of this cyborg guy. When he was human, he had a little baby, a little toddler that, you know, he presumably lost. And when he lost this baby, he couldn't handle the loss and turned himself into a robot. What would have made more sense in my mind if I was writing this movie?
No, the robots kind of seem like technology from old days.
Yeah.
They were used as military weapons.
Yeah, because remember, these guys came from the year 2118, not 2018. Mm-hmm. However, in my opinion, instead of losing a baby, if he lost somebody that was closer to the age of Hester, and he lost her because she broke a promise or because he wasn't as possessive or something like that, if Shrek, the robot, saw her and was like, you subconsciously remind me of the child that I lost because she broke a promise or she ran away from home and I never saw her again and I don't want that thing to happen again. Because when she ran away from home, she died or something. Something like that. And then it makes more sense that he's so obsessed and hyper-possessive of her.
No, like, okay. He's a robot. He doesn't have emotions. He has a logical mind. She made a promise. I have to hunt her down to keep her promise.
Well, no. Right? He subconsciously has emotions. Right. That's like hammered home.
Okay. I still need to say more stuff.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So the coolest monster thing died. Why? Because of feelings. Mm. Right? And then, right, they're fighting this. They go to... they go to this Asian world, right? Like Garden of Eden, right? There's mountains, there's water, there's waterfalls, there's forests and trees. Like, where did all this resource come from? And not only that, the whole movie and every trailer, it's about these cities on tracks that move, right? You get over the wall, and what do you see? A giant utopian, the biggest city in the entire movie, built on mountains, built in forests, foraging off the land. Why? Because that's the smart thing to do.
Well, yeah, and they did have a scene in the beginning of the movie where they're like, yeah, those people beyond the wall, they're hoarding the resources. We want the resources. But yeah.
It's like, what was the point of the building of cities?
How did they prevent the stuff from growing outside of the wall?
Because here's the thing. I've seen this time and time again. It's essentially the evil white man, possibly British Empire allegory, that is going against the East. East? Is it China? Is it Japan? Is it India? No, it's just the East. I don't know. Mysterious spiritual stuff. Just whatever. They're all the same to us anyways. We're white people. That's what it is. It's supposed to be this nuanced take on the East versus the Evil West. And
remember, they just, left. Whatever. They left their safe haven, right? The city I'm talking about, London. They left their safe haven to go search for other stuff. Because remember, the general was saying, he's like, "This was your idea. We left. Now we only have a week of resources left."
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They said that like 2-3 times.
He was saying that we left England to go to Europe. Because of
right. I remember that.
Right? In resources. Other words, they had resources. I'm assuming they had like a forest and mountain range and stuff like these guys do, right? There was no point to leave, right? And second of all, as soon as you see that world, you're like, oh, okay, this looks dope. Like, it's pretty good. And then instantly, you're just like, what was the point of the moving cities?
They didn't really explain why he wanted to even go really beyond the wall other than like, oh.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah, I want to be a bad guy. Like,
yeah.
He's just like... Shoot the laser.
Keep going. I'll go off of what you say.
Okay. So towards the end of the movie, right? They're doing the big fight scene between like the flying ships and the big London, right? One of the girls got hit, right? She got her wing clipped, right? And remember, she kamikazed. She sacrificed herself to
take out that last turret.
She had guns still, guys. All she had to do was shoot the thing and go veer off to the left and crash land and be safe.
I mean, if you're gonna die regardless, and
no, not die. Remember the other guys crash landed?
Yeah, because they got lucky.
What do you mean? They planned that crash landing.
Oh, sorry, I misspoke. The writer wanted them to die.
Yeah, okay. See, like you didn't need that kamikaze attack.
Yeah.
Right? And the Asian, the girl, the red chick, the badass.
The main rebel. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't need to die. There was no point of that.
She had to die because that's what the cliche says. The mentor has to die.
And up until like the last half of the or last I mean quarter or fifth of the movie, right? They're like, oh, the rebel army, blah blah. So we're assuming they're like, you know, like 15, 20 people rebelling against them. No, it's an entire freaking populace of people.
Like all the anti-tractioners live beyond the wall or something like that.
Yeah, because I guess these guys just are upset that they're not in moving cities and they decided to build cities on mountains and stuff instead. Is that the whole premise? We're in movie cities. You should be like us. And they're like, no.
I guess they just don't like the fact that they're eating cities.
Yeah, it's... Well, again, they didn't say this. They're just they said they're against the practice of eating.
No, I'm talking about the moving cities.
Yeah.
Right? Are they just mad at the non-tractioners because they decided not to be in moving cities? Because
they live in the past and he wants to take over or something.
And remember, not all moving cities are evil. It's the predator cities that are evil. Because remember that coal mining city in the very beginning that's not technically evil or anything. They're just, you know, they're just around salvage whatever resource they can.
There was a huge disconnect in the world. You had this Mad Max thing where there's like slave trading and so on and so forth, right? And then you had this giant population living life freely under like Buddhist reign.
You know what? You actually gave me the perfect idea. It's like a movie trying to sell itself like Mad Max, but in reality, at the end of Fury Road, that big oasis where people are?
Yeah.
It's like, hey guys, we live in Mad Max, except that oasis exists in like 7 different areas, and we're going to show you them in the movie. And you at the end, you're okay. So it's not like Mad Max.
Yeah.
It's pretty safe, actually.
It just made no sense. And then if the Asians, the Buddhists, were willing to take in other people and give them jobs. They wanted to, right? What was the point of all this then? I can understand saying the Asians were like, no, London. We don't want you. We don't want your people here. And but they're like, hey, listen, we don't want to fight. Come join us.
And when we say the Asians, we're not being like generalized. It's the movie. It's like, hey, here are the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Indians, and the South Asians. They're all just the same. They're here. Okay.
Yeah. So there were, it reminded me most of like Tibetan.
Yeah, Tibetan.
Yeah.
In the mountains, right?
Plus, plus Indians. Random Indian
person.
That one girl.
Yeah. One thing that I found
the movie... Who somehow solved the day by praying to a Medusa statue. Wait, hold on. Do you know any Hindi deities?
No.
Okay. White people. Okay.
One thing that I found that was quite annoying in the movie is that I found for a society that is supposed to be like very in, like you're supposed to live off survival and stuff like that, I thought everyone was way too trusting in this movie. Where yeah. like literally like they're like, oh, I hate you, and then months later they're like, oh, we're best friends now. Like, like yeah. the girl's like, cut the rope, leave him behind, and he comes on the plane, and then they're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, mm-hmm. There's like no talk about like, oh, we like no, there are no trust issues with anyone. Mm-hmm. They say it for like 1 second and the best friends, and then they're enemies again and the best friends again. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
A lot and of characters that, had a lot of trust whole, issues. That like love interest thing was forced.
Oh, man.
Also,
yeah. very forced.
The bad guy's daughter, mm-hmm. right? She wasn't needed in the story at all.
Nope.
Other right? than to like, discover that and the, yeah, dad and the, is evil.
No, she is needed because not all Predator City citizens are evil, guys. Yeah. There's some good people.
What happened to them? The what dude did she do? That was with her?
Yeah, that's actually what I was writing down right now. What happened to her love interest? Because
her love interest started off as the main character, then it became this like next dude.
But here's the thing. He had no indication of being the love interest until that love interest's mysterious final scene where he puts his hand on her cheek. He's like, just forget about your evil dad. Even though there was no lead up, it's just, oh, there's a guy and a girl together in a scene. They must go together. Like, there's a guy and a girl in this other scene. They must go together because that's how pairings work.
I thought he would do something in like the final battle with her, but then he just disappeared. He wasn't there at the end.
No, he said.
He was there so the millions and millions of fans of the series could have a character to pair her up with. Yeah. That's it.
No, like he said, he's like, I'm not sticking around for this. And he left.
But like okay. that was just a wasted okay. character.
Remember, because yeah. they were in the stairway, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Forget your dad, I'm leaving. Come with me." And she's like, "No, okay, bye, peace out."
It would make sense if they were there for the exposition for the audience to be like, "Oh, here's the side of the evil." But we already see those scenes through the bad guy's perspective anyway. So realistically, yeah, they had no purpose other than to be like, "Hey, not everybody in Predator City
and
is
yo,
evil."
As also, soon as I saw that flying city, yes, there's a flying city in this movie.
Oh yeah, it's just a bunch of air balloons tied up together.
Yeah.
What's powering that? Where are they getting those resources?
Love.
God.
One fire blew the entire... That robot guy, by the way, burned that city to the ground to find the girl. All he had to do was start one fire, and the entire thing blew up. And I like the fact that they had a sign to say, no flammables, no electronics, no sparks, please. But come on.
Also, not only that...
They had no contingencies. They had no like backup. They had that sign. that one sign.
Which is zoomed in
was
on.
Was there, yeah.
And okay, not only that, the first time we're introduced to this monster, right? He's on a prison ship. Like a giant walking prison ship that walks in the ocean, right? The people in London were like, we need to go see this guy. Take me to the prison ship. That means these ships they're unified. Right, they're not individual cities anymore, right? That prison ship was part of London's infrastructure of ships.
No, I looked at that as just a generic universal prison.
No, that's
prison
dumb.
Or something. I don't know.
The alternative is not dumb. No, it's because, all dumb.
Because they
it's all dumb.
They went there, and the warden. Right, it's like okay, yeah. Well, let me show you this guy. So like they were under their control.
But
right?
I did like this. I did like
so
the fact
if
that
you're running out of resources in this big city called London. You have enough resources
have
for the
yeah. I will like this. I do like this. When they wanted to free the cyborg Shrek, they not only blew open his cell, but they blew the entire city to the ground. They just blew up one leg, and the entire prison city just went down to free one person. And I'm like, okay, that's
cool. I guess he was trying to cover his tracks.
Yeah,
but like if you own
but who
the
cares
prison.
About the other prisoners in his mind, right?
Yeah,
he just needs the one to be free. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
I'm just saying, but if you own the prison, you can just be like, you'll free this guy.
Yeah, you know what? True.
This guy.
True.
What the hell was the point of blowing it all up? I'll be like, yo, use that as resources then.
He wanted to show that he was evil.
Gone.
He wanted to show that he was evil.
He just, like, all the resources gone into the ocean.
Yeah. That's true. Good point. Anything else?
Yeah, man, there's so much. It just keeps coming back to me. Like,
if you remember more, get back to us. But I want to touch on a couple
of the love interest between the ship guy and the girl in the red, the Chinese girl. The black guy.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see that as a love interest.
No, it was very clear.
Yeah, you know what?
At the very end, he's like,
in this movie, it would be a love interest. Yeah, no, it's like it's dangerous. No, no, don't go.
All those characters, the, like the
you got everybody needs romance.
Reminded
man.
Me, everybody the main needs character, romance. Right? He wanted to be a ship
an
captain,
aviator,
an
yeah.
aviator, right? So at the very like when the battle's lining up, this man is wasting time looking at a furry jacket. Like a pilot's
yeah.
jacket.
Yeah.
There was no point of that, literally. And then he took off his jacket. He wore it. He's like, yeah, I'm an aviator now.
Because
like,
he didn't do any sick stunts. It's like, okay, I'm an aviator now. And then he goes in the passenger seat for the entire battle.
Yeah.
And then he gets in the pilot like, seat when there's no more battle. When yeah. he just has to pick up the girl up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was saying. That's one of my main...
It's like... Oh, sorry.
That's what I was saying. That's one of my main gripes with these movies where they have to spend so much time on certain scenes just to get think that, like, okay, we got to show these people these scenes when they literally could have made it more subtle and it would have been lost on us. Yeah. We could have got the same idea.
I would have liked that scene if there were, like, multiple lines of, get rid of that Londoner's jacket. People are going to know you're a Londoner. Or, yeah. And then he's just refusing because he's proud of this jacket over and over again, and then he finally gets rid of it. That would have been nice or something.
That, like,
but it rings to me like it reminds me of Solo. Remember when they're like, this guy is a master pilot, and we saw no evidence of it. This guy is a master Han Solo, master pilot, no evidence of it really throughout the entire movie.
It's
just
like, and oh my god,
the captains that were alongside the main rebellion, or whatever. I didn't see their point in the movie. They didn't really do much on the final feeling.
Because
they're like, I remember when the war was about to start, they're like, all right, captains, go get ready for war. And they go to a war and they start planning. And like, all right, let's go fight. And then they're chilling in the city. And they didn't really do anything until the end. And that one lady, the Indian woman, she spent the entire movie just being pissed. That was her one thing.
Pissed and praying.
She never took off either.
She was
in the city the
whole time. Her main purpose was being pissed.
Well, I don't think she was a pilot. I think that's why, but
I guess.
But her main purpose in the movie was to be pissed. At that dude.
I still can't get my wrap my brain around. Oh yeah, I don't know, a bunch of snakes coming out of a lady's head. That sounds like a Hindi god, right? Sure, let's throw it in.
But I'm Medusa. Like, there were like
why is an Indian girl playing to an evil evil Greek entity, not a Greek god, but an evil Greek monster?
I know.
No, okay. The weapon is called Medusa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. the failsafe comes from the Medusa head.
No. Picture. The weapon is called Medusa. The thing of evil is called Medusa. And here, this city is praying to the head of Medusa.
I thought the failsafe was called Medusa.
The weapon was called Medusa. Right? That symbol that we see, right? That's like a nuclear-esque symbol, right? That was called Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is Medusa. So here she is praying to...
I think it was called Medusa because even the weapon, it looked like a head with a bunch of snakes around it for some reason.
It was like a cobra head.
Yeah.
Sure. Right. Whatever.
Whatever.
Sure. But yeah, there are things to it that were good. The CG was really good, especially for a 2018 movie. CG was really good. The acting, okay, the dialogue was bad, but the acting I considered really top notch.
Oh my god,
surprisingly top notch.
Dialogue was so bad.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I'm somebody who holds dialogue up literally above everything else. Person of Interest is my favorite television show because of the dialogue. Captain America: The Winter Soldier is my favorite movie because that dialogue and script is the tightest of any other movie I've ever seen. There are games which I prefer, like I'm drawn to because of the dialogue. I consider dialogue one of the if not the most important things.
I consider music
this was terrible.
One of the most important things. Helps with the immersion and the feeling.
But then why do you like Marvel movies?
Because they got decent music.
They got nothing, man.
Nah, they...
anyways, I'm sorry.
But this, the music... First of all, I can't remember a single...
track?
Like,
good... It's just generic
thing.
Generic.
No, I even like the generic stuff, right?
It adds
to the ambiance. It adds to the immersion.
I don't remember any music at all.
I remember
pretty much
one.
Piano with booming sounds.
I remember one song... And it was god awful, right? When the weapon's coming up and the choir's just going, oh, oh, oh.
There were choirs?
It was like something out of Dark Souls, right? The way they're chanting and stuff. It didn't fit the movie.
Is Mortal Engines the Dark Souls of movies?
That's like, no, also
Dark Souls is good.
The staircase that went from the museum to the church. And they knew that it existed all the time, and there was always question about the church building something weird in there. No one was curious about to go check that shit out.
Not only that, it's why did they go up that staircase?
Because that was the only entrance to get into the church.
Why did they get in that church? To see that the weapon existed and then there were people.
Because they were saying that that dude, the character who just dipped in the end of the movie, mm-hmm. he was saying that they're building something sinister and that your dad is building something messed up in there. Something's going on in there.
No, I know. But for the audience.
Us to see that.
But we already saw it multiple times.
I
know,
but they just want to have a visual. Yeah. Like I said, they want to show the audience everything so they are 100% certain that they understand what's going on.
The staircase was there for them to get in. Because remember, it was heavily guarded.
Yeah, but that staircase existed forever.
Yeah, there was spider webs everywhere. That staircase existed to hammer home for the daughter that her dad is evil.
There's another point to it.
But really, she could have been like that when it's like, oh, he's literally waging war on the wall.
She knew about the staircase.
The world was too big for what the movie was. They've tried to throw in every possible thing into this movie.
They almost built this world up. They almost did a good job in world building, and then they proceeded to throw away all the concepts that they had.
No, it didn't do a good job of world building.
They almost did, and then because they dropped the ball so hard, it was actually terrible world building.
I feel like they never had the ball in their hands to begin with.
No, sorry.
The beginning part with the world eating, that
they're,
was pretty cool.
Sorry, they're the ball and the ball, they had the ball in their hand at first, and they saw the hoop, and they're like, that's the hoop, and they proceeded to kick the ball the other way.
No, I think even take it that far. No, because they're like, okay, we got moving cities. All right, screw that. All right, we have Garden of Eden. All right, screw that.
That's what I mean.
Like, I'm saying, in the beginning they had it.
Yeah, they had cities eating cities. That's a cool world building concept, which they just threw away. They had certain things that worked that could have been cool had they had the balls to go
stick
through
with
it.
Them.
Yeah. And that freaking the leader's shotgun had infinite ammo when they were trying to save her, but then in the church it had 4 shots.
The guns, that's the other thing. So why did the main baddie was up against the rebel, so he shot his machine gun pistol thing
that had infinite,
with perfect accuracy and then he proceeded to throw the gun away to pick up a sword to fight her instead of taking the gun.
I think he ran out of ammo.
They didn't show it.
Yeah, but they could have showed it.
They could have shown him, like, click again and be like, that's 2 seconds in.
And not only that, it's at the end, the big climax of the scene. And by the way, the main character doesn't get revenge for her mom. It's the pilot that shoots the main bad guy. So that's one. That's already an issue. But two, the whole I'm holding a gun. Okay, I'm the main character. I'm holding a gun against the person who killed my mom in front of me and nearly killed me. And I already knew in the past 10-15 years after my mom died that this guy's probably my dad, and I'm still gonna cry and hesitate even though I'm a world weary hardened veteran of the world. I'm still gonna start tearing up. No, instead, you know what they could have done to fix that entire end thing, not fix it but make it slightly more palatable, was I'm the main bad guy, I shoot the gun at the rebel leader, and then I go up with the gun, and then the rebel leader smacks it out of my hand, the gun falls 20 feet to the floor. And then after the main character shuts down the machine, she picks up the gun that fell 20 feet. And then when she's pointing the gun at the main bad guy, she's like, yeah, I know you're my dad. I don't care. She pulls a trigger and it doesn't work because the thing broke and it fell 20 feet. That's all they could have done.
The amount of characters that were introduced, just like the amount of the world that was introduced, right? Not a single character was able to be flushed out.
I like Tom.
The only only character stuff that had, right, an actual story and a reason and what's like emotion or whatever was the robot.
Yeah, you know what?
Because even Tom went from a blithering idiot at the beginning, right, to somebody that cares about a random stranger, about this chick, right, to being a pilot all of a sudden and shooting the last shot, right? Yeah. His personality and the way he acted changed so much throughout the movie, right? It wasn't and he had no reason. Oh, they killed my parents died. How, what, where, when, nothing. No, we're not going to talk about it, right? What is your reason for doing all this? Oh, I don't got one.
Mm. Like, we're told he's an aviator, aspiring aviator, and we don't see evidence of that.
None.
And also the of Hester. We see two instances where I'm so broody and mean, I'm not going to talk about my past. And then she has two flashbacks, two separate flashbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
About,
like,
her past.
The character, I don't know.
They're not.
Like I said, nobody was flushed out except for the robot. And he wasn't even a main character.
And he had no flesh.
Yeah. he had no flesh.
So, Are there any final thoughts? Because if we keep doing this in the future, and if we have movie reviews, we can only do it for movies that people actually watch and care about. Because what's our runtime?
We're at 48.
Nobody's going to listen to a 48-minute podcast about a thing called Mortal Engines, which is on track to lose $100 million at the box office.
So you need to make these reviews more concise.
Yeah.
Nah,
it's practice.
No, it's fine. I don't consider this a review either. I just consider this a rant of us talking, and I think that's totally fine.
So
ranting about Mortal Engines.
Yes.
Okay. So let's continue on. Like, what are you guys' final thoughts about the movie? Do you want to see a sequel, which I don't think we will?
You know what? Here's the thing. I'm actually glad you forced me to watch this movie because, one, I would never would have watched it. Rightfully so. I don't recommend it. I heavily anti-recommend it, but it's given me ideas on, like, potential cool stories that could happen if you gave a F about that, about any of the plotlines you brought up. But, yeah,
I was could looking not recommend it at all. To see, I was wishing for the movie to end. Like, throughout the whole movie, I'm just like, okay, she's going to die here and the movie's over.
Nope. And keep in mind, like, this is a man, Eyre is a man who legitimately loved The Hobbit Part 3, and
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it. I definitely liked it.
Yeah. So, if he says it's bad, it's bad.
What do you mean? The Hobbit 3 is not bad.
It's known to be quite bad. It's generally widely accepted to be quite bad.
Yeah, I'm not with the widely accepted crew, okay? It's like it had good fighting.
Except this time. Right? Except this time.
Yeah. It had elves. It had dwarves. It had, like, what do you mean? Shut up. Yo, it was good.
It had elves and dwarves kissing. I mean, so, what do you
final thoughts, guys. It's
I went into this thinking it's a 4 out of 5. Or sorry, a 4 out of 10. Maybe a 5 out of 10. But after listening to Eyre and you and, like, yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.
I would say world building okay, everything else not okay.
Yeah, it had good ideas, but could not execute a single one of them.
Execution properly. Throughout the entire movie was
there are better, well. Bad and also movies great, to watch.
Great acting, great CG, but that's not enough to waste three
I wouldn't
hours.
Even say great acting.
I would say great acting. Yeah, it's hard to parse dialogue from acting. I think the acting was quite well done, but it's not enough to not enough to waste 3 hours.
No, because. Mm-mm. Some of the pirates didn't, or the sky pirates, whatever, they couldn't act for shit. The Russian guy, the daughter was kind of pointless, and she couldn't, her acting but was kind
of
off.
But keep in mind, her dialogue was also the worst of the bunch. I think the
worst of the bunch was Esther's. Oh, and Tom's. Those two, the main characters, they had the worst dialogue.
Hester's wasn't the worst dialogue because it's the dialogue that's just lifted from every other young adult
and
novel.
Oh,
it's
my
just,
God, when it, she but cried but the, and when she but, laughed. It was so forced, you could tell, and she was struggling to act.
That one instance where Shrek was dying, that was kind of...
And no, the very end, where she's sitting there laughing like
oh my God, yeah.
Her mouth wasn't moving. She wasn't... She's like, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, and I could have swore you were going to bring this up, but do you want to talk about the scar?
Oh, yeah. So basically, the movie, she's supposed to have the main character supposed to have a horribly disfigured face, and that was the main premise that Tom falls in love with her, even though she looks like half her face is basically gone. But in this movie, it's a light scar that goes from her lip to the bottom of her right eye, and her eye's not even cut. So, like, they pretty much, and like, they made it seem like she was the ugliest character in the entire movie when literally she probably look better than most of the characters in the movie.
Yeah, there are like two or three characters that are straight. Like, look at this uggo. Yeah. Look at her. But
if they actually gave her a disfigured face, it would have made her character a bit better.
Hollywood ugly making the real uglies feel really bad about themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
Done. So let's move on. The movie's bad, don't watch it. Boom, end scene.
All right. Okay, so yeah, so I think that's the end of our podcast today. And if you guys have any feedback for us or any sort of comments or anything you want to improve on or with anything with the podcast, just let us know in the comments and give us some feedback, and then we'll appreciate it and we'll try to put it into action because this is our first podcast and we need it and we kind of need the feedback for to make it improve it.
We've had like two or three first podcasts now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still. Yeah. Anyways. I hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you next time. And
we promise not to spend an hour talking about Mortal Engines next time.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So, well, that was our fun little rant. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun recording it. If you wanted to follow our social media, you can follow us at Day One Updates with an S at the end. That's plural. Otherwise, if you wanted to send us suggestions or, you know, questions, love letters, you can email us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That is dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.